Let's open God's Word together this evening to Luke chapter 2. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 2. We'll read the first 20 verses of the chapter. Our text is verse 19. Luke 2, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. We read God's word to that point tonight. Our text is verse 19 of Luke chapter 2. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Beloved of God, 2,000 years ago or so, Jehovah God, the creator of all things, enfleshed himself and came into his own creation. He became also man and was born into this world through Mary in Bethlehem. There, likely in a cave, Mary gave birth to a being who was her son, and yet at the same time was not her son. A being who, according to his humanity, was her boy, had come from him, from her, bone of her bones, flesh of her flesh, and yet, according to his divinity, was not her son at all, but is fully God himself. The wonder of the incarnation, that the being who is at the same time the creator of all things has now also become part of the creation. The being who is the law giver has now also become under the law. The being who is the origin and giver of life now himself becomes also subject to death. A wonder, the depths of which we will never plumb. In that same cave, Joseph and Mary receive visitors. Mind you, not in a hospital room that's set up to receive visitors, but in a cave where there are animals stinking, where the child is being laid in a manger, where Mary has had to give birth in such circumstances. Now come visitors, shepherds into the cave. We don't know exactly how long it was after the birth of the Lord that the shepherds come, but it must have been fairly quickly because we read that they find him lying in a manger. This visit of the shepherds marks a new section in the nativity narrative in the book of Luke, the section that deals with now the engagement of the birth of Christ on the part of other people. Responses to that birth of Christ. And of course, the chief engagement and the chief response is one of worship. That's repeated throughout the narrative from here going forward in those who find out about the birth of Christ. The angels themselves worship. Glory to God in the highest. These shepherds bring their worship. They returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard. Old Simeon in the temple is going to bless God when he holds the baby. Old Anna will give thanks unto the Lord. The wise men later are going to fall down and worship him. And this must be our engagement too at this time of the year. It's good this time of the year to take up passages of Scripture that deal with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's something valuable, too, about taking up passages of Scripture that deal with the engagement now and response to the birth of Christ right at the beginning of this season of the year, that it might guide us into our engagement with the birth of Christ in this time of year. Is that not to be our response this whole season long, our engagement with the Lord's birth? Worship, worship, worship. And yet, there is another response, too. And that's the response that Mary gives. It's the way that she engages the birth of this child. Also instructive for us. A response to the birth of the Lord that is often overlooked because it's his own mother. Nonetheless, an important one. And that is pondering. Mary pondered this. She pondered the incarnation. She pondered the events surrounding it. She pondered the significance of everything that has happened to her in relation to this child. And that ought to be part of our engagement of the birth of Christ this season of the year as well. These two things really are not disconnected from each other, are they? Pondering and worship. In fact, you can't really bring worship and engage his birth in worship if you are not first engaging it in pondering. Worship flows out of the pondering. And so the goal here this morning, the purpose of the sermon, is to incite in us this, a pondering. It leads to a number of things, as we'll see at the end of the sermon, but this especially, worship of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's examine then that spiritual practice and make it part of our engagement of the birth of Christ as we take up the text under the theme, Pondering the Christ with Mary. Pondering the Christ with Mary. Notice first the meaning of this pondering, and then second, the content of the pondering, and third, the fruit that comes out of that pondering. Pondering the Christ with Mary, the meaning, the content, and the fruit. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. In order to ponder them, she first had to keep them. When the text says Mary kept all these things and then pondered them, that word kept means to build a garrison around, to corral so that it can't get away. Think of building a corral for cattle or for horses. You build that corral and you put the horses in there so that they can't run off and get away from you. This is the idea. Mary kept these things that the shepherds had come and told her about what the angels said to them. She corralled them so that they were pieces of information that did not go out of her mind right away. She found them to be important. They had to be garrisoned, kept. That keeping activity of Mary is held in the text in contrast to the mindful activity of the people of Bethlehem. Our text begins with the word but, and of course, but is a contrast. The people of Bethlehem this, but Mary, she kept all these things. Well, what did they do? The shepherds, after hearing from the angels, had come to the cave where Mary and Joseph were, and then they went out into Bethlehem's streets and found probably the people that they knew, first of all, maybe some people that they didn't know, and they started telling them everything that they had heard. Verse 17, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And then verse 18 gives us the reaction of the people in Bethlehem concerning what the shepherds told them. And it says this, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. The response was to wonder or to marvel is the idea. They thought this was quite something intriguing. And then it was gone. They thought to themselves, this is quite a thing to say. Angels appeared to you, shepherds, really? And you're telling us the Messiah has been born and he's in a cave lying in a manger? Wow, that's quite something. But then they thought to themselves, but these are shepherds. And what is this? The Messiah is laying in a cave, in a cattle trough. And it was gone. But Mary kept the things that the angels had said. Mary kept the information that this was a sign. Mary kept the information that angels filled the heavens in saying glory to God in the highest. She held on to it. She put a corral around it, garrisoned it, and said, this I must keep in my mind. What do you do when you hear the things of God? What do I do? Do we keep them? Do we put a corral around them so that they don't exit our mind as quickly as they came into our mind, in one ear, out the other? What kinds of things do you do to hold on to these truths in your mind? Some people take notes of the sermons. Does that help you? To keep these realities, to garrison them, to put a corral around them so that they don't just flee out of your mind right away when you walk out the back door there. Some listen to the sermon over again during the week so that they can keep these thoughts in their mind. Certainly all of God's people come back to the house of God week after week to hear things old and things new, to keep these truths in our minds. Some write out a journal of sorts especially regarding important or striking things that they have heard, whether in the church or in other places, in their own Bible study or wherever it might be. But there are things that the child of God ought to do to keep, to garrison truths, especially ones that strike us, that we might keep them in our mind, deeming them important to keep and not let fly away so quickly. This is what Mary was doing. But she was keeping them, beloved, not as an end in itself, but she was building that corral around them in her mind for a purpose, in order that she might ponder these things. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them, keeping them alive in her mind. She did something else. She exercised a work upon them called pondering. The Greek word means to mull things over, to throw it back and forth in your mind. It has the idea of taking this thing now and setting it over here and looking at it from this angle. And then after you've done that, taking it over here and looking at it from this perspective, turning it around and seeing it from the underside and the top side, and then looking at it in its connection to this thing over here that I know about, and then its connection to that thing over there, that truth of God's Word. It's mulling it over, pondering it, connecting it to other things. Mary was undoubtedly connecting what the shepherds had reported, the angels had said, to everything that she herself had been experiencing, to her own giving birth in the cave, to the angel Gabriel had appeared to her in the beginning, telling her all of this, starting all of this, pondering it, making connections. This is a Christian spiritual discipline, beloved. The act of keeping and pondering the things of God. You see God's people engaged in it all throughout Scripture. Let me give you just a few examples. First, Genesis 37, verse 11. This is after Joseph has his dream of his family members bowing down to him. We read this. And his brethren envied him, but his father, Jacob, observed the saying. He observed it. He kept it in his mind and he pondered it over and over again. Daniel 7, verse 28, after Daniel receives the visions from the angel. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. I kept the matter, and I pondered it, thought upon it. Proverbs 3, verse 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Don't forget it, but let it stay in your mind, and you ponder it. Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I've hid it in my heart. I've taken it and I've built a corral around it so that it stays in my mind, and I pondered it. Yes, but that's the job of ministers, right? I'm not a minister. Or it's the job of patriarchs like Jacob, or prophets like Daniel, or kings like David and Solomon like you read about. But I'm not any of those things. And I don't have the time to do this kind of thing. I'm busy. I have responsibilities, job. I have other responsibilities. This is why we have a minister, so that he can ponder the things of God and he can deliver them to us from the pulpit. Well, it's certainly true. Now, the minister is called to keep the things of God and to ponder them and to deliver them to us in many ways, especially from the pulpit. But beloved, Mary wasn't a minister. And Mary wasn't a patriarch. And Mary wasn't a prophet or a king. Mary was a mom. And she's keeping and she's pondering. The fact that the minister has a vocation that requires him, calls him to do this many, many, many hours through the week doesn't mean that we have no responsibility with this, that there's nothing about this that applies to us. I know we're busy. We are all very, very busy. But is there not time to ponder the things of Jehovah God? Is this not important enough that we ponder the things of Jehovah? Can we not do this sometimes when we're doing the other things that we're called to do? Perhaps on your way into work or your way home from work, perfect time to take advantage. To keep something in your mind and heart from the sermon on Sunday or some other way in which the Word of God was brought to you, and to ponder it, to mull it over, to turn it around this way and that, to see it from every angle, to connect it to various other things. What about a mom doing laundry or vacuuming or whatever else? Many, many things she can do, and at the same time be pondering things. We can ponder things before we go to bed at night. We can ponder them momentarily after the worship service is over with each other. We can ponder them at Bible study together. What a glorious gift to come together and to ponder the things of God together with our families, Sunday dinner. Keep these things and to ponder them. And when we do, beloved, it ought to be not merely a pondering in the mind, but a pondering in the heart. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her. And you kind of are expecting it to say in her mind. And that's what we think of when we think of pondering something, our mind. But it says in her heart. There's some overlap there, to be sure. But the heart is still distinct from the mind. And the point is this, that Mary didn't just find this to be an intriguing kind of mental exercise. Like you do a crossword puzzle or one of those other word puzzles, where she was just trying to figure things out in her mind. But she pondered these things in her heart, at the level of her heart. The heart is the mission control center of our life. It includes our mind. It includes our emotions. It includes our desires. It includes everything. The heart directs the spiritual, ethical, desiring approach to all of one's life. The point is, she pondered these things in such a way that they were not removed from her life as just a mental exercise. But she pondered them in such a way that they would affect her loves, that they would affect her hopes, that they would affect her priorities, her actions, her goals, how she carried herself, how she interacted with others, and chiefly her relationship with Jehovah God. The heart is the seat of relationship. She kept and pondered these things in her connection to Jehovah God, so that it affected that as it did all of her life. Part of her connection. Was to what she loved. And to what she cared about. And to how she was going to respond to things. And how she was going to live. And how she was going to worship her God. What did she ponder? The text says these things Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. We can say three things tonight about the these things that Mary was pondering. First, from a very general point of view, we can say this, that Mary was pondering divine revelation. Divine revelation. These things are what the angels had made known to the shepherds, and what those shepherds had now come into the cave and told Mary they had heard from those shepherds. Those angels were bringing the message of God. Mary was pondering divine revelation, God's communication to men. Is that what you're pondering? Is that what I'm pondering? If we engaged in some self-examination and looked at the things that we really set our mind upon in a week's time, how much of it has been divine revelation, the divine communication of God to men? It's so easy to ponder everything else, isn't it? Especially when we have these devices in our pockets, can steal our attention away for so long, the ponderings of our mind. Politics. Our favorite sports team. The economy. Whatever's coming across on our Facebook feed or some other social media feed. What to buy for Christmas. Or whatever else we happen to be into at the time. And of course, there's nothing wrong with thinking about all of these things in moderation. But is there room in our life for this serious keeping and pondering of the things of Jehovah God? And in all the other things that take up brain space and time space with our keeping and pondering, are we pondering them through the lens of our pondering of divine revelation? Mary kept divine revelation in her mind, garrisoned it, corralled it, and molded over purposefully. And why wouldn't she? These are the very words of God. God had spoken these things through these angels. Of course, if these shepherds are going to come into her and say, this is what happened to us. They announced to us the birth of this child that you just delivered. They're going to hold on to every single word. And Mary is going to hold on to every single word. What did he say? And what does it mean? And how does it connect to everything else I've heard and what I know and what I've been experiencing? But is that really all that different from this? Is this not divine communication? The very words of Jehovah God. Shall we not keep them? Shall we not say, what does everything mean? And ponder them and the connections to everything else? It wasn't just the unique and special audible divine revelation that was granted at this time that Mary was pondering. Just go back and look at Mary's song. After she's told by Gabriel that she's going to be the mother of the Lord, that song is chock full of Old Testament scripture references that she's putting together chiefly from the Song of Hannah at the time of Samuel. This woman had been meditating upon scripture, had been pondering the inscripturated word with the same zeal and fervor with which she ponders now this unique divine communication. Deus dixit. God has spoken in his word. Let us keep and ponder these things. Second, we can say that Mary pondered divine revelation as communicated through God-appointed means. These shepherds, this particular divine revelation came to Mary through the means of these shepherds who were appointed by the angels to go into Bethlehem. They told her what the angels had said, what the one angel said, and what the sky full of angels had said. So too, beloved, let us ponder divine revelation also and chiefly as it comes to us through divinely appointed means, through the proclamation of that word by the one called to bring that word to us on the Lord's day, as he himself has pondered it, as he himself has worked to make the connections, explains that word to us now and applies it to our hearts, connects it also to our life. Yes, that's his job. And yes, that's his calling. And yes, that's his joy. But it is also our calling then to receive that and to receive it this way, that we keep it with us and that we ponder it, that we take it apart in our mind and then we put it back together. We turn it around, that we examine it, that we connect it to our life and see how it affects what we love and what we reject, how it affects our parenting, how it affects our money, how it affects our marriage, how it affects our friendship. And while, of course, it is the responsibility of the minister of the Word of God who's been set aside to ponder these things, not only to explain their realities to us and the connections to other parts of God's divine revelation, it's also the minister's responsibility to connect that to our life. Be that as it may, it's impossible for a minister to connect that to all of our lives in every possible way that it can be connected to our lives. He is to work hard at application, to be sure, to meditate upon that, to see the faces of God's people in his study as he's bringing the word, as he's preparing to bring the word and then brings it to us. But we have a responsibility also to make application ourselves, to connect it to our own lives. There's a diversity of people, the diversity of life situations. Did the shepherds take the messages that they heard from the angels and show Mary every single way that it applied to her life right then? No. Her pondering did a lot of that. It was used of the Spirit to make applications into her own life. We have a responsibility to do that. Divine revelation communicated through divinely appointed means. And then third, let's now get to the heart of it. What specifically is the content of this divine communication that Mary is pondering? The answer, beloved, of course, is her son. It's the Christ himself. The Christ, in his relationship to every other aspect of divine revelation. What Mary pondered specifically was this. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And then the word of the angels as they filled the heavens. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. That's what the shepherds brought into that cave and told her. That's what she was pondering. How astounding this must have been to her. She thought nobody had noticed. Was anybody even aware? That she had given birth to the Son of God Himself? She's all alone with Joseph, but they're all alone in that cave. There had to have been some dissonance in her mind about this. She's been told by the angel that her son is the Messiah Himself. All the Old Testament saints have been waiting for this. The great prophets, down to every individual child of God, has been looking forward to this day, this moment, and now when it comes down to it, what? In a cave? People won't even make room for me to get a room? A pregnant woman, but then a pregnant woman bearing the Messiah, the Son of God Himself. This had to have been very strange to her. What is going on, Lord? I don't understand this situation. And now she discovers. No, Mary. All heaven has been watching. All heaven has seen this. And heaven has emptied itself of its angels to come announce what has just happened to you. And as to why it's this way, Mary, the message that the shepherds bring from the angels must have been astounding to her on this front too. They said, "This shall be a sign. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." As she ponders these things, she begins to understand. It had to be this way. It was a sign. He's not going to be some earthly Caesar, some great king in some earthly kingdom. But He's come, as the angel told me, to save His people from their sins. And if the angel said that it's a sign that He's born into this poverty, then I need to understand that. I need to reckon with that. That He comes as a lowly king in a cattle stall to show that He's here to redeem His people from their sins. All the message that she hears as she's pondering it gives her to understand why everything's happening as it's happening. Apparently, she continued to ponder all of these things. She continued to ponder her son, the Christ, and to hold on, to keep, to garrison other things as she learned them and heard them from Him, and to make connections, and to place them in conjunction with all of God's divine revelation as she knew it from the Old Testament. The Lord is 12 years old, and He's being brought to His first Passover in Jerusalem. You know the history. He stays behind in the temple. And Joseph and Mary head back home. They discover that He's not with them as they thought. They go back and they find Him again. And He tells them, "I must be about my Father's business." And we read this, Luke 2, verse 51. "And His mother kept all these sayings in her heart." She pondered more and more. We find her at the foot of the cross pondering His death. We find her after the resurrection in Acts 1 in the upper room pondering the wonder of the resurrection and the pouring out of the Spirit with the other saints. She ponders her son and all of divine revelation in connection with her son. And it must have been Beloved, the most astounding thing for her, having grown from all of this pondering, understanding the purposes of God with her son, for her to sit underneath the cross and to say nothing and to do nothing. John 19, verse 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Has it ever struck you that she sat there and didn't say a word, apparently? Though it must have about killed her in her mother's heart, what they were doing to her son, and everything in her probably wanted her to stand up and to cry out, what are you doing, you fools? He's the Son of God himself. I should know. I gave birth to him as a virgin. But she sits when everything in her must have been pressing her to get up and to claw at those nails and to try to pull them out herself. She sits as her motherly heart is shot through with a sword because she's been pondering for 30 years. And she understands now that he was born for this. That this is why she had to give birth in a cave. It was a sign that he would save his people from their sins this way. And she holds herself back. As she knows the gospel, the good news in her son, and that that good news is for her too. This is the purpose of this season of the year, beloved. This is the reason why our Reformed fathers did not utterly do away with the church calendar. That we might ponder the Christ again and again and again. That we might make connections. That we might again connect it to our life, not just in our head, but with our heart, to our loves, our hopes, our priorities, our pocketbook, everything. More and more of Christ, to ponder him and his connection to all of the revelation of God. That's what we are to do this season. This is why there are special sermons preached this season of the year. This is why there's programs where the children come and sing and recite memory verses that we might ponder Mary's son and God's son. That we might ponder him in his work of creation. All things were made by him, and nothing was made without him. To ponder all of his working through the Old Testament and all of the types and shadows, search the scriptures, for they testify of me, he said. To ponder his offices as mediator of the covenant, prophet, priest, and king. To ponder his humiliation and exaltation. To ponder his vicarious atonement. To ponder the fact that it's his life, his actual life that is put inside of me for regeneration. That it's his righteousness that he walked on this earth and lived a perfect life. And that righteousness is imputed to me for justification and is being worked in me for sanctification. To ponder his current sovereign rule over all the earth at the right hand of God. To ponder his law over our life that is good. To ponder the signs of his own return, his footsteps, he's coming again. To ponder his mercy, his justice, his truth. How he reveals all the attributes of God, they all might be known in him. How he shares the throne with his Father, how he's going to make all things new. To ponder how everything is unto him. Everything. and through him God is glorified in everything. To ponder the connection between him and all of this and my life, my relationship to God, him in relationship to my callings, my vocations, my hurts, my joys, my hopes, my brokenness, my suffering, my sin, my shame, my delight. She pondered him in relationship to everything. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. There was blessing in the way of it. All the blessings, people of God, out of faith's pondering of Christ and his connection to all the revelation of God and his connection to all things. First, a life kept back from the way of conscious, deliberate sin. Who can doubt but that every time a child of God walks in conscious, deliberate sin that can be traced back to what he's been pondering? That's why the scripture says, thy word have I hid in my heart. Thy word have I kept and pondered that I might not sin against thee. Young people, this is why all of the warnings about music and about the entertainment of the world that calls evil good and good evil. It has an influence. As you ponder it in your mind, it affects the life. It affects what you love. It affects what your priorities are. In the way of pondering the things of God, we're kept back from much conscious, deliberate sin. Second, the very peace that the angels spoke of coming to earth is experienced by faith's grasping hold of the Prince of Peace, pondering the Prince of Peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. No peace in your experience. What has faith been pondering, or what has faith not been pondering? Have you been pondering the problems only, or also the prince over the problems? Third, we're kept from being ruined by false doctrine in the way of such pondering. The writer to the Hebrews says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We ought to give earnest heed, pay attention, hold on to them, ponder the things that we've heard, lest at any time they slip away, these doctrines get lost. As we meditate upon divine revelation in the face of Jesus Christ, our pondering will be part of the way that we also reject things that are against that divine revelation and hold on to what is in line with it, so that we're not tossed to and fro and blown away by every wind of doctrine, ourselves and our generations after us. Fourth, there's fellowship with each other in the way of this pondering, isn't there? Think of the fellowship that Mary enjoyed with Zacharias and Elizabeth as together they were all pondering these things and talked about them with each other. It will be us too. As we ponder these things and communicate with each other about them, there is a fellowship that is sweet, that is deep. And then finally, beloved, let's come back to where we started this evening. and take note of the fact that this pondering leads to worship. Perhaps some of you have gone wine tasting before. Maybe some of you have not, and think, why would anybody ever do that? That's fine. You can still understand the illustration, I think. Where someone goes and tastes various wines, and they take in some of that wine and hold it in their mouth, and they move it back and forth from one side of their mouth to the other side, and they flip it over in their mouth, and they're pondering that wine, really. And as they ponder it, they're making connections to other things that they know, and they're saying, this is the taste of raspberry, or there's a hint of blackberry here, there's an oaky finish here. And as they're doing this, pondering it, mulling it over, making the connections, finally they declare, this is a good wine. This wine tastes like this. And this is what happens with the child of God, beloved, as we ponder the things of God, as we ponder the Christ himself and his relationship to all of divine revelation, his relationship to everything in our life, in our world. We mull it all over. We turn it over. We make connections now. And we can't help, finally, but declaring, this is glorious. God, thou art marvelous for what thou hast done. And it issues forth in worship. As God's people overflow with the wonders of God's doings in and through this Mary Son. May that be true of us in this season of the year. As we ponder the Christ to the glory of God. Amen. Father in heaven, bless thy word proclaimed tonight, and bless us in this season of the year as we meditate upon these things. And may it end, Father, in the worship and adoration of thy great name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing 337.